Okay, so today's daf we learned is daf bet, and we'll continue from the left off. So Rav Chagai Rav Chagai asked the following: Heyach tanina, why does it say arba vot nezikin? Ima kolam ur then nitni. If you remember, we discussed the fact when it comes to shor, well, there's three different forms of damage that we described by that can sorry that can be inflicted by an animal. Kerem is an uncharacteristic type of damage. Regel is as its course of its walking, it causes damage. Shen is if it eats certain things. And we said that, well, they're all really encompassed by the word shor. So why do you say arba avot nezikin? Why do you simply say three and cover up by shor? And if you want to say, oh, no, we want to actually break it up into three, then it says, v'ima kol amur b'shor, then b'shlosha. If you were trying to say, oh, I want to actually discuss all three, then there should be five about nezikim. Because if you remember, just to recap, just remember, so we don't, again, reprogramming our previous learning from Bavli, Mishnas, is that shor, according to the Yerushalmi, was keren, and mave was actually both shen and regel. So why, in a nutshell, saying, why are you combining two of the three there, and either combine them all or split them all apart? That's effectively the question. So Gemara says, Ela kamadi ishtai krai ishtai matnita, which is beautiful. Now, last year we went over this quite fast, but if you remember, we tried to understand the source of Mava. We said, Ki yivar ish sadeh keren v'shilachat bi'ra. And we demonstrated that pasul, Ki yivar is working to Shen, v'shilachat bi'ra, we said it was clearly regel, because Meshalchi regel ashor b'chamor. And we also proved that v'vayelav ha'er was Shen. So, since in the Torah, if you like, when it teaches those two avod, it does it in the same pasuk, not separate pasukim for each. So to our Mishnah encompasses those two avod in one statement as well, in the term mave. Okay, I'll just show you the crop. I'm sorry, the we don't have a crop. We've got the Mara Fulda. He says, "Kamosha kolam makra shen veregel beechad ki yivar b'shilach." As we said, "V'kolam beechada we v'lo k'tiv kol echad beechad bekratz." I didn't have their own name. Pesukim hachinami medaber mahamatniti. That's why Mishnah also encompasses it in one term as well. It follows the same pattern as the Torah, if you like. Marana says, "Let's try and understand the Tolodot. If you've got avot, you've got derivatives as well." In other words, avot is meant to be like a prime example of a particular category, and there are other things that are similar to it, which are the derivatives, and these are for like the toladot. So let's have a look. Toladot a keren. What are the derivatives of keren? Now here, this is effectively, I feel like, a brighter, but it says negicha, negifa, which is goring. Negifa is someone like a ramming with one's body or pushing with one's body, like the side of the body, really. Neshicha is biting. Ravitza is trampling. Bit is kicking. Now, these are all intentionally to cause damage, not just as it's walking along. Dechia, that's more like ramming front on, I think. So these are all the toladot. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Negif and negicha, those are mentioned in the Torah. Those are your avot. So no. That writer says, Ikar hen, but avid lo and toladot. So Ikar hen, but avid toladot. So you're saying that these are all toladot. So ela mitchil, no, matchil beikar. That writer starts with the ikar, meaning negicha and negifa, and umasayim other forms of. Like let's call it intentional damage the animal is causing that's not in the normal course of the way animal is, right? Goring is one of them, but also like kicking, things like that. Those are all the toladot of keren, and we said when it comes to keren, one's chayiv chatzin nezek. If it's again, this animal it has developed a habit of damaging in this way. What are the toladot of bor? What are the derivatives of bor? So the Gemara says, well, wait, be patient, because kol pirka tlitai. And all third parak, we're going to be discussing it. All things are left on the road and that are hazardous obstacles for people. It doesn't just have to be digging a hole, all those other things as well, as we'll see. Because Rebbe Tani, if one leaves a coal in Rosh Hashanah, and somebody else trips on it. Now, interesting, you might think, is this esh because it's flammable? No, it says, and he has a flask in his hand. If you get his clothing feel like it's burnt, but the sluchit then smashes on the ground. The sluchit is mishum bor, because that damage was a result of this obstacle being there. Despite it being flammable, it was an obstacle in the road and he tripped on it. That's why it smashed the kli. So that responsibility to pay is a result of bor. With ala kelav, it's got to do with fire damage. Now, what's interesting here is that normally by bor, if you have a look at the Ritbaz, I think you have Ritbaz on the page. It's probably on the side, and mine is on the side. It says, "Tikmashma even though it started as it was really a flammable fire, it can be bor. That's why the tzluchit, the damage as a result of the smashing, the zchut habetola da dabor is derivative of the damage of bor. Okay, v'talui, and that is actually dependent on plug to the Rabbi Yehuda v'chachamim. Because the reason why that is im chay ben iskei kelim babor. Because as Mr. Shem will get to this, actually I'm not sure he will, but this is he says it's in the Bavli, but maybe will, I'm not sure. But that this damage caused as a to kelim as a result of, I mean, kelim were held by a person or animal as a result of the boar is actually the subject of debate. And here it seems to be siding with Rabbi Yehuda, which is interesting because if you look at the Pnei Moshe, though, Pnei Moshe says, it says, b'shaloyfgir, you weren't mafgir. Normally, boar is by, if you mafgir it, even like a dig a hole or, well, that's a different story. Obviously, digging Rosh Hashanah is not, but if you like chuck out a bottle in the Rosh Hashanah, you leave it there, mafgir it. But here we're talking about shaloyfgir. Because he says, despite the fact that all the, let's call it hazardous obstacles in the way we learn from boar, and by case of boar, you would be having the kelim that was smashed as a result of the guy tripping. That's only a mafgirat. If you weren't mafgirat, it's not exactly like boar, but it's still a derivative of the boar in the sense, which is an interesting position that Bnei Moshe has. In other words, again, is this identical to Bor? Is it like an identical derivative? Or is it like, let's call it a cousin of Bor, if you want to call it that. That's really subject debate. Because again, the Ribbah said this is really where the Chayv and Keli is part of the broader debate by Bor. Whereas the Pnei Moshe says, well, this is a different type of Bor because it wasn't Mafgir. So that's why he says you'll be Chayv and Keli. Okay, Beseder. The Maranah says, what about Tolo Tata Rego? What about the derivatives of Rego? So Tani Bemash Nichsal Shusa Yachid. Again, importantly, when it comes to Regel, it's damage caused when he goes into someone's private domain, not just Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because again, what are you doing leaving your objects in the middle of the highway when there are going to be cars driving through? You can't expect people to be responsible for that. Okay, so let's go. Tani Bemash Nichsal Shusa Yachid. Ve'ezika. Bein Biyada Ben Bragla. Whether he caused damage with its front feet, like hands or feet, so front or back legs. Bein bakarna, whether it's its horn, bein ba'ol, or the yoke he's pulling along, she'alaya, bein b'shalif, which is like a pack saddle or the like, she'eshba, bein ba'agala, maybe it's a wagon, she'moshechet, then mashalem nezek shalem. So the derivatives of other, if you like, adages to this shore that have been pulled along in the course of his walking, that would also be chayev. And it says, "V'amazik v'karmelit mashalek nezek shalem." So even a karmelit, so Hilchas Shabbos karmelit, meaning it's not a public thoroughfare, like a small alleyway. Also, we find that has a din rishus rab. So rishus, if it's called that rishus yachid, when it comes to a regal. Okay. Next, what are the derivatives of shen? Tota tashen. Havum bayim memer that thought to say that's parasha achla saorim v'chamor sha'achla karshanim. Why it's interesting about a cow eating barley and a chamor acting karshanim like vetches? Because the point is, the Marfuldu explains that the food of a para is normally karshinim, and the food of a chamor is usorim, so it's switched. So they're eating some food that is not necessarily what they would normally eat. Okay, that is what the assumption is. Like a kelev, a dog that's liklek et Hashem, drinking, like lapping up, if you like, some oil. The chazir, a pig that eats basar. These are all called kulo toldo de shenin inun. So the assumption is because it's not its new normal diet, that's why it's a derivative. However, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, no, kulam ikar shenhu. No, consumption where the animal's getting hana'ah from it is the malacha of shen. Not malacha, malacha is the avot nezek, if you like, av nezek of shen. So then what is the tolada of shen? So vaitani tolada shen b'shedarasa agabe nod. Interestingly, the animal stood on a leather bag, if you like, of male shem and full of oil. Ubesicha gufa. And what happens as a result? Its leg got covered, if you like, with this oil. And as we know, this Yom Kippur is coming up, so this also makes sense that achilash, that sicha is also like a form of like drinking or eating. It's a hana of the guf. So the derivative of Shem is other ways the animal, if you like, in its course of its normal way, or if you like, is actually deriving some sort of benefit, not just eating through its mouth, but this oil going in its skin is also beneficial to the animal. So sicha gufa ne'ne, kamad amar taman shen ochelet va'guf ne'ne, af hacha ne'ne gufa. So any other, if you like, way this animal is deriving actual benefit, bodily benefit, that's a derivative of Shen, and in this context, we're talking about like a tzicha. Okay, next Point. Rav Yirmiyah Abaye, he asked the following question. Now, this interesting lashon of poletet asavim mahu, what does this mean? The Ritbaz says, I'll just read Ritbaz again. He says that rotzelama im paltal mipi asavim shachla. So it took some asavim and then spat it out. Okay, so it literally poletet, it spits it out. Vizika ba'em im avei toladara, is it a derivative of regel? Because it's doing something, it's damaging the normal course of its walking. All, it's like damaging with something it's carrying, like a awl, like a yoke or a shalif or a pack saddle. Or maybe it's not like a toll of the regal, mushum the regal is zika matsui or plitat asavimenu matsui. So the question is this, now it didn't eat it, so it's not shen. This sort of tearing, like picking up and eating and spitting it out, is that like regal or is it too strange? Like an animal doesn't necessarily do that. That's the way the Ritbaz explains it. And then the question is left as a question. The Ritbaz says the next piece of sugya is talking about something else entirely. However, the Marafulda actually says, no, this question is slightly different. I'll read it inside. I don't understand 100%, but it sounds like as follows. As it's going, poletat asavim, in other words, sorry, malechet al gabe aruga, it was walking by on a patch. Or poletat asavim is like grasses or like that it's pulls out, beilucha as it's walking. Shegen derech ha-malechet betzidei, if you walk on the next to, the Zraim shel Arug, Zraim shel Aruga. So Bitsidei Zraim shel Aruga, Niflatima Zraim shebetzada hilucha. That it's likely to pull out, it sounds like some of the Zraim. Mikoach dusa, by just pressing on the ground. Okay, so it's somehow unsettling the Zraim of some sort, and they're pulled, they're being uprooted, but being pulled out. That's what it sounds like. What damage did you do? Is it actually damaged right then? No, these asavim are still alive. What have you done by pulling it out, effectively dislodging it? Is you've caused the beginning of the damage. Meaning, if you replant it, it's fine. If nothing happens, however, because if they're just left as they are, then they will effectively dry out. Okay? Now, do we call this as considered toledata regel or not? Because again, I think the way that Barafold is explaining as follows. Regel normally is as I am walking, or not me, but that my animal's walking, it actually causes direct damage as it's standing on certain items. It stood on a watermelon, or it stood on some other, and immediately smashed it. Okay? However, here, it's kind of just gone next to the things and dislodged them from the ground. Is it?
Oh, but I want to have it in the ground still. I don't want to have it cut off.
Yeah, but the thing, it's not cut off. It's somewhat dislodged. Now, you might want it in the ground, but is it damaged yet? No. However, it will eventually dry and die out. Okay, so that's the question. Is that like regal? Like, do we do, you'll see why it'll become clear soon as the Gemara continues. But the assumption is regal calling immediate damage? Or is it enough what's called here, what's called hatchalat nezek? Meaning, I've set off a chain of events that will end up this thing dying. Okay, is that enough to be considered nezek? Now you might think that's obviously it should be Reb Yisrael, but the Gemara is going to basically come to that conclusion. Quite the Marafulda reads it, because you might think just like goring is immediately goring an animal, or eating is the animal's immediately eating the thing's gone. Maybe regular hostile has to be the same thing, meaning completely standing on something and smashing it as it's walking. Okay, here you haven't damaged it. You've gone next to it, it's sort of ejected it out of the ground or the zrayim. And it'll eventually dry up, but it's still fine. If you came along now, you can put it back in the ground. So that's what the Gemara is asking. So Amr Yossi, he says, what are you talking about? So he's asking, what do you think the question? We see this by if someone leaves a coal in the ground. What do you mean? Maichadun, what's even the similarity? So Amr Yossi Barbun. So he says as follows. Tifta b'maniach sakin smucha l'rshus. If someone leaves a knife near Rosh Hashanah, kamada tema tamana esh nogal mitzad echad v'nitchalchel kulo. Just like with, if you like, a fire. Now a fire is malech me'alav. Now the reason why, just to be clear, the reason why he didn't like initially using the case of a fire, because a fire would, if you like, spread. Like you start the fire, and if you like, it continues and spreads. Where here you just pull down the ground, and it's dying on its own. So it doesn't seem to be a good parallel. But he's saying no. Look at the case of a knife. Why? Because when it comes to, for example, a coal, just as a coal, there's an initial bit of damage, okay? And then the it triggers a chain of events as like the fire spreading. So too, when it comes to someone has a knife in Rosh Hashanah and someone cuts themselves, nirchachel kulo, that it either penetrates or it causes the damage, ends up it's a, what's called hatchalat hanezek. The initial impact with a knife is just the beginning of the damage that will develop as a result. Okay, so the way the Maharful explains, let's have a look inside. It says the I put it down. There's no immediate damage, but that's of elahu il, if you like. The al yedei kach. This is the beginning. We tried to prove from the gachelik. Naseat chalat v'chanal lezek. If it like triggered a damaging event, then achinami also two poletet zrayim. So the Gemara is. I'll keep on reading the Gemara fully, even though we discuss this outside. Kolama ma raya megachelik lekan. Why do my gachelik gacheli he atzmahu lechet mazeket? That the nature of a gachelik, it has it's something flammable and will spread. Mashigein hacha here, the regel is gone. The regel's not continuing. It just ejected the seeds out of the ground. So Tiftar, he brings the case from the Sakin. So let me just jump down a few lines. He says, "Keshadam noge we'll go that more that the damage caused is not just where the knife necessarily made contact with the body. It penetrates. It can cause internal issues. I'm not sure. I think that's the idea. So too, you see that someone can be, if you like, be responsible for the beginning trigger of a damaging the consequences of the events. So too here, by pulling it out of the ground, even though it's going to like dry out on its own, you're responsible for that. That's what we're pulling out from the story. Okay, fine. Similarly, Rabbi Yossi Barbun, b'shem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Levi, bor male mayim, if there's a bor full of water, v'nafal sham megdi, and then a small kid falls into it, v'nichnas mayim derech ozno, and some water goes into its ear. So initial damage is it fell in the bor and some water went in its ear. You might think, okay, maybe for the ear, but however, nichal kolos, sometimes that can be damaging infection, whatever it is, and ends up in penetrating the entire body of the animal and kills it as a result of falling this bor. V'kan so too, nichal kolos, you're chay for the initial trigger chain of events that will result, even if the major damage is not immediate. That's another proof. Again, the Avriks tried to explain it like Mara Fulda. There is, again, as always with Rishalmi, we've seen the very different ways of explaining this. Rav Baz is a different sugar altogether. It's all sugar related to Bor, but fine, et cetera. We have to stay with one parish. So Mara Fulda's in the middle of the daf, so we'll stick with that. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah Baya, Haitama lechet umakeret asavim, ubakarna mahu. Shinui hu, or I'm adding in the word or darkalachen. So what's interesting here is the you have to really look the marafulda to understand what's talking about. In other words, it's walking as it's going along, and it's somehow pulling up these asavim, causing damage to the person's property, with his careful with his gufa with his body and his keren. Now what is this talking about? How can and the question is that a shinoi or is it darkalakach? And how could possibly think it's darkalakach? When does the animal go to its horns and start pulling things out of the ground? So therefore, the Marafulda says, no, we're talking about a there's a pathway, and that's you know how fields are built on madrigot. Okay? So the person's field is actually at head height of this shore that's walking on the lower, if you like, madrigal, the lower step. Okay? So in that situation, as he's walking along, it's walking along and it's you know swinging its head and ends up pulling off some of the if the asavim from the field that's at its head height. That's effectively what he's saying. Now the question is that a shinui? Is that strange? Animals don't usually do that, so therefore now we have to treat it as keren chatzinezek. Or do we say no, it's derech hilucha, and that's what happened to be at its head height in this situation? It's normal, and therefore it's regel, therefore nezek shalem, and it seems to be now left as a question. Okay, next. Rabun Bar Chiya says b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, why does the Torah need to effectively teach us both shor and bor? I could learn one from the other. A bor is immobile. It has no darkon, a bor is immobile, right? It's just simply there. I created this hazard. I am chayev. Shor, an animal, which is far more likely to cause damage by the fact it can move about, clearly I will be even more responsible for the damage it caused. So in other words, I could have simply learned shor from bor. Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? They've got different dinim. In a case of a shore, you have to pay full damages. So if you want to just learn a kavach chomer straight from bore to shore, then offshore, mishalem nezek. Then even a shore in a case of keren, where it's unusual, then if you can draw a simple kavach chomer, you should be chayav to pay full damages. But we know that's not the case. The Torah tells us you've got a keren is chatzin nezek. Or mashor mishalem chetzin nezek af bor mishalem chetzin nezek. Or alternative the other way. If you can try and draw kavach chomer one from the other, well, a shor is chatzin nezek, and that moves about. So therefore, a bor should also be chatzin nezek if it's like the first time this bor caused damage, whatever it is. Just draw parallels that way. So therefore, no. Ilo ne'emar shor ha'itilamor shor min abor or ilo ne'emar bor ha'itilamor bor min ashor. Now, to understand this line, I want to show you the Marfulda. He says Perush Hashas, who ala matniti, he's trying to explain our Mishnah. Ma she'amar Tana lo harei, that which the Tana, the Mishnah says, trying to show us the differences between the different, if you like, avot nezikin. Why does it strain itself to do so? Hachig yamar ilo non ma shoyti lamod shomer abor v'chenivcha. Lekach ne'amar. In other words, if it wasn't for that, I would have thought I can derive from the other. Lechen amar lo that if they're not she'ein lamedim zemizeh, you can't learn one from the other. The Kamadat Tana, why is it important to teach us that you can't learn one from the other? Kamadat Tana, she'ilu, because if you could learn one from the other, mehem, because then, if I could have learned one from the other, and the Torah nonetheless went out of its way to teach both of them, then you run into a problem. Then I could not learn any other form of damage from these two. Because why? Because then I've got two psukim that are trying to teach one law, but in the midim. Because again, we have a situation that where if the Torah is teaching by two specific cases exactly the same law, that's shnei kovim baim kechad. That means the Torah went out of its way to say that it's only these laws and these laws, these cases only that this law applies, and I can't extrapolate any further. So that's why the Mishnah went to great strains to tell us no, that I could have learnt one from the other, and they're all necessary. And now that they're all necessary, I can build out, like the Gemara, like the Mishnah says at the end, a cloud to teach you that. Well, just get the Lashon right. It says, the level of responsibility, because these things cause them. The tarveu, I need both of them, then you can start learning. I can learn from both of them. That's why, so he clearly cites this, the Korban Aaron, to explain that's why the Mishnah went to great straits. Fine. Now the Gemara asks, v'lama tanita hacha? Now why does it teach it here? Meaning, lama satana kan lo harei v'atzad ha'shaveh yoter mishamak? Why are we doing it here, great straits, more than the other place? He says, umashni, the answer is, de'it lei milin segin ken. What's it in segin ken? Sheyesh lo dinim arbe be'inyan nezikin. Because unfortunately, the way one person can cause damage to his friend is countless almost. And therefore, that's why we have to build out this. We have to build out this klal or a smach onto which to build the klal that's able to merabe other forms of damage, other type of cases that fit into this klal that would therefore have a mazik. Because anything that, in any property of yours that is darkan lazik. What's the last one again? Shadakala is it that is dangerous, if you like, and you're there, Shmatan Lecha, that and therefore you're responsible to look after it. And if you're obligated to pay for then it's actually interesting. The Pnei Moshe has a different take on it. He says, it's Mishum Lagdil, etc. But that's, we'll, if you like, leave it here. Seder, Kol Tov, have a good day.
Thank you.
Have a very good night.
Thank you.